Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Organic Nation Listening Club with hosts Hummingbird and David Arnett Cherry. Let's do this thing. Do this thing.
You the president. God damn, you think you could survive amongst this hostile tribe and not be smart, plus tough, with all that heart? Those who dug Lester Young would understand. What's happening, Prez? What's happening, friends?
About the music. Well, this is going to be explained by Mr. David Arnett Cherry. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so happy to be on the line with Hummingbird and the Organic Nation Listening Club. And we just heard like the last poet, which was talking about the presidents, but also it had David Murray on there, which is a sax player with jazz. And one of the great saxophone players of our time was called was Lester Lester Young or something. And
wow.
But he was they called him Prez. So It's kind of like a two play with the president, but also talking about Lester Young at the same time with the horn lines and stuff, because that's what Lester did. He played. I mean, we talk about he was in the 30s and stuff, and he was one of the greatest saxophone players that even when you get to George Howard, you have to look at Lester Young, you know, because Coleman Hawkins and the saxophone players that brought him up to Charlie Parker, and you can just go on and on and on. So we was discussing the other day, and I know some of the music is different for you, so I said I'm just going to throw something out on her.
So, but that's okay.
I'm going to throw something out on her. Like, okay, she said I don't know, but I'm trying to understand it. But that was the play with the words, was talking about Mr. President. And we're going to get on the second segment. We know we're going to get into, like, oh, shoot, what's happening today? And we got subject matters and stuff like that. But it's interesting that these cats, this was done probably in the 70s or 80s. I don't know the time date, but they was talking about the president, you know. But then also talking about the president of the jazz thing, you know. So, I mean, I just caught it just now. I said, oh, Prez. That was his name.
Wow.
You know.
It was interesting.
So how you doing out there in that cold weather?
It is a wonderful morning in the neighborhood. It is great. I am doing awesome. It's warmer now, so it's getting back to the regular Texas weather, which I appreciate. I want everybody that's up north in Ohio and New York and all of those other wonderful places, thank you so very much for taking your weather back.
Yeah. It was like going to be 70. It was like down and nothing. Then I looked at your stuff, and it was like going to be 70 or something this weekend.
Yes.
Or whatever.
And then we're talking about
incredible.
What? Not even 4 days ago, it was 16 feel like 4. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then you know, it finally got up to 25 when we woke up yesterday, and by the time we got ready to go home, it was around about in the 50s. So we figured this weekend would be great to hang out. Hopefully, after I finish the show, I'm gonna go and see Jazz Man play basketball. He's on the basketball team. So
you talking about
him.
Jazz Man?
Yeah.
He's playing ball?
Yes,
man.
He is.
He's probably gonna be the baddest cat ever.
I'm believing. I am believing. So next time you come through, we're going to have to take you to the game. We're going to have to hang out at the game with us. So that's going to be great. So what do we have before we go into that, what do we have in store musically-wise? Because I'm sure, I just want to break the ground with that. I'm sure that y'all know the vastly difference in the musical taste that we have. You know, I'm all no substance, and David is a whole lot of substance. And I don't want to say the music that I choose has no substance to it. It's just more music. David music comes with a message.
You left it up to me this morning, and I said, well,
absolutely.
I'm just going to go back to some poetry and stuff. And we just went with the last poet. You on the Organic Nation Listening Club with Hummingbird and David Arnett Cherry. And I just said, okay, African American History Month is coming up. Let me put up some poetry and get ready for some issues. But these pieces are pretty older pieces, but it still deals with today. And even when the music that we have played in the past has dealt with today, so we have went through a lot of different things with McFly, or if it was Lemon or whatever. It talks about what's happening, the swing of today, which is very interesting. I'm so happy. So I just said, okay, let me go back and play some stuff. So I got Janie Cortez coming up. Janie Cortez was the wife of Arnett Coleman. They both gone now, which is interesting, but she was a great poet, a woman poet and everything, and part of the family, my family, and stuff like that. But she is incredible with words and stuff like that. So we can get to the music and then come back to our subject matter, which I think everybody's going to be interested in what we're going to talk about. I'm going to give some time because I'm excited about our subject matter today. And you know about it, so we're gonna go there. But let's listen to some Janie Cortez, and then come back. Okay, let's do that thing.
All righty, all right.
Mm-hmm. The metal worker was welding. The palm wine tapper was drinking. The trumpeter was marching. The afro file owner was creaking. The metal worker was wallowing in rust. The hunter was camouflaging in feathers. The trumpeter was hiding under dry leaves. The afro spot owner was disappearing behind smoke. The metal worker was pounding. The cane cutter was flashing. The trumpeter was blasting. The timekeeper was clapping. The afro spot owner was shouting. The palm wine tapper was tapping. And no one was asking, why Yoruba? Why Chokwe? Why injunctions? Why a better Kuta? Why long distances? Why Mbundu? Why fire spitter? Why geology? Why phonetics? Why repetition? Why communication? Why matter? Why vision? Why the Big Bang? The afro spot owner knew how to blow whistles against corruption. The metal worker knew how to read the patina. The palm wine tapper knew how to swallow all secrets. And the timekeeper knew how to break the metronome. The cane cutter had the leading tone. The hunter had the tempo. The trumpeter had the vibrato. The palm wine tapper had the tonic. The timekeeper had the upbeat. The afro spot owner had the vamp. And the metal worker had the crescendo. No one was asking, why did the afro spot owner cut up? Why did the palm wine tapper cut off? Why did the timekeeper cut out? Why did the metal worker cut the action? Why did the trumpeter live in the action of the cut? And why this particle? Why this loop? Why so many directions? Why the afterglow? Why the Big Bang? Manipulate sound. The palm wine tapper knew how to clean the mouth. The cane cutter knew how to step forward. The metal worker knew how to fabricate. The afro spot owner knew how to provoke. The hunter knew how to swim in deep water. The metal worker had the foundry. The timekeeper had the message machine. The hunter had the telescope. The trumpeter had the space shuttle. The afro spot owner had every salt mine. The palm wine drinker had every tree. No one was saying, why evolution of energy? Why the unifying device of spit? Why the fire drill? Why gravitation? Why the internal punctuation? Why transition? Why Navajo? Why Aztec? Why axis of rotation? Why conjunction? Why incrustation? Why the Big Bang?
Interesting.
She was bad. You know, you're talking about poetry being read in writing like that, even mm-hmm. as profound as it is, mm-hmm. and to deliver, you're talking about in the 90s. This was in the 90s. Mm-hmm. As you go back to her earlier work, mm-hmm. That's writing, I can agree mm-hmm. or disagree, but.
Wow.
It's really good writing.
Wow. She went through it fast, the whole thing.
Yeah, about life and, okay, why do we do this? Why is that? Why is this? And what is this and this and this? It's funny.
Right.
I think it's a great delivery.
I think what's so different about it, to me, I'm sure it's a form of some type of music, but it's more poetry and spoken words with music behind it. So, and like I was saying, you're given a message. She was given a message. She was telling you, if you listen to it long enough or listen to what she was saying, she's really fast, but you could hear a lot of the little small intricate parts of what she was talking about, which is very interesting. This type of music seems to have eluded me in my young age to where I wasn't able to hear a lot of it. And it's amazing how your background and your moms and dad and your grandparents and those before them can dictate how you hear or how you understand the theme, you know?
Uh-huh.
So you have to
But the question is, since this is new for you, but the question is like, when you listen to the new stuff that the younger people is doing, you can see her rhythm, what she's talking, how the rhythm they're talking, and a lot of the people today, it's just a different beat or a different thing, but they still talking this consciousness, this other thing and stuff like that.
I understand what you're saying, but I think the generations that we have, I don't think they have the substance that we had as young. Hey, I don't want to offend anyone, and I'm sure there's some out there that may have it, but if they are, they don't put it on in words. The only one that I know that will give you something to think about that I've heard, and I'm limited into some of the things that I listen to because of what I like. But, Kendrick Lamar brings a message with his music, even though you can dance to it. I do, once you sit down and really listen to what this man is saying, he has a lot of substance in his music. Most of the songs now, and that sometime will include my wonderful rapping son, is about what they want, or money, okay? And but she's talking about a revolutionary thing, you know?
Yeah, but it's interesting, because what I'm trying to connect is that when you hear her rhythm and how she's rapping her stuff and how she's presenting her poetry, it's almost like today. It's just a different rhythm. So I'm going to the theory of the rhythm of the vocal of talking like that and really fast and boom, what they're doing today. So that's, what they're saying, you can continue on. But that's what I was getting into, how she's rapping like that, And it's
now that's true. She's spitting fast. So, yeah, that's true.
You know, the group was called the Fire Spitters. So
wow.
Said she is spitting.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's spitting fast. She really was.
Yeah.
So that's good, though. It is enlightening. It's something to think about when you're listening to music in general. So I'm not, like I said before, I wasn't, I was brought up in the poetry and all of that. I do know about that. But in the way that's like the poet, the song you played the first time, it's political. It's very political. And it's asking questions. And that's a good thing. That the problem is now, the world now, is we don't ask enough questions. We want to microwave everything fast. We don't ask enough questions. We need to get back to finding out the reason why, the root cause of things, so that we can understand. We don't have, I just look at the world, and I look at the generations that's coming up, and I'm just a little nervous.
Because like we talked the other day about sexual harassment or something.
Right. The Me Too.
And the Me Too. Yeah. What you say?
Me Too movement.
What is that?
It's all of these jobs, sexual harassment that people have been going through, and that was quiet. Now that everybody is coming out, they've put out a Me Too. That means that happened to me too. And my thing of it is, and let me be the devil's advocate in this. My thing of it is, yes, we have all at a point or a time or another, if you are a woman living, if you're over the age, and I could probably say even younger than that, but I know if you're a woman over the age of 25, 30 years old, there have been some form of harassment to a certain extent. My thing of it is all of these things harassment, or are some of these people just jumping on board just to create chaos? And then when they're making these accusations, you know that they are destroying a lot of people's livelihoods. Now, I'm a woman, and I have seen
a very beautiful woman, Tommy Bird is. So you got to understand
thank
that.
You.
So,
thank
you.
Know, thank
I just
you
have
very
to throw
much.
That
I'll
out.
I'll take that.
You know.
Well, I'll okay. take it then. I'll take it and run with it. But I'm just wondering if some of these people are taking these things out of context, or they. And but when you do that, you got to realize before you step out and do these things, you got to realize that you are offend to affect this person's life for the rest of their life. They not only are you affecting them, if they have a family, you're affecting the wife, the children. Is it enough to say that he did all these things and it may have been something that you didn't really take the right way? Or did he overtly do some stuff that you need to bring it out to make sure that other women are not being have to deal with this guy because you've moved on? My thing of it is all of this sexual harassment, or is just some of these people just want to get in the limelight on the Me Too movement so they can make themselves feel a certain way? I'm not sure. I don't want to charge everybody up to say they sexual harass these people. Let's hear the story. So many
That's
people
good.
That have lost their jobs and lost their, I'm sure, because if I was a wife and found out 15 women have been either sexual harassed or he's been groping, and some of them probably even slept with some of these women, that marriage would be over. See, that's what I'm saying, the trickle-down effect. Okay, once you say this, what else will it affect? Because you could, if somebody came here, you and I was married, and somebody came to me and said, well, you know, I worked with David on that cherry 10 years ago, and we've been married 10 years or so. And during this time, he did these things to me, and so that I could keep my job, I had to do this to him, and this thing and the other, and then another woman pops up, and then another woman pops up. How long do you think that marriage is going to last?
I think it
goes in,
pretty much done.
It's done. And then,
you know,
what about
that trust
social media?
Thing with the trust thing is very
right.
important in relationships. So if you don't trust the person you're with, and if things keep being coming up, that's like pretty much, you know, especially with men and women. I mean, just the relationship. If you don't trust, I mean, it's hard. It's going to be hard.
Now,
it's not going to be.
No, I'm not saying. I'm not saying that the relationship can't last. It depends on what information she gets. Now, if it's one woman, one indiscretion, maybe, you know, counseling, you know, because nobody's perfect. And you have to, you know, for when you get married, it's for better or worse. But when it gets to the point where you're talking about, oh, out of the 10 years, it was 10 women. What?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
I heard a radio show, I think with you or something. It was a radio show, and this guy, he was crying, but it was a prank. But
oh, yeah.
It was so funny because he said, hey, I'm messing with a woman. And I'm at church, and he's crying. Wasn't that thing?
He was a minister, and the guy had called and said he was his wife. He said he called and told him that he was he wanted to repent because he had been messing with the woman in the church. And then
the church,
pastor said, "Son, everybody make mistakes." And then until the pastor found out if it was his wife. Oh, how it changed! How it changed!
He said, "I'm a pastor, but
as godly as he was."
I'm come on in. I will kick your butt. I'm being very nice about what he said, but, you know.
But you got to understand. It's an emotion.
How long can you do that? You know,
It's an emotional thing. Yeah, you got to understand that. It's just, but when you bring that out, when you do those types of things, and it brings, you affect a lot of people's lives. You know, it affects. It does. If they have children, and social media, is cruel.
Thank you.
And these kids have phones where they can get on the internet and they can read about their parents and they can read about their dads, they can read about their moms, and they can hear the most ugliest things, because people don't care that, they can hear ugly things, things that may not even be true, that have been added to all of the mess that has been, you know, worked up with this movement. And I'm not saying the movement is bad. I promote the movement. I'm glad it's out there for those that have been silenced, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad those that have been really sexual harassed, that have been really to be put in a situation to have to do these things to either get a job or keep a job, it has to have been horrible. You know what I'm saying? You have to live with that every day. But I'm talking about the ones that just want to get part of the bandwagon and just want to do something, just get a name for themselves, get their name in lights for, you know, what they call it. You get fame. How do they say this? And it eludes me right now.
I'm having a mental block, but it's cool.
But it's saying something.
But see,
about,
I don't
you know,
even know about
minutes
that
of
movement,
fame or
so
something.
You let me know.
Yeah.
I mean, but you
it's
let me
awesome.
Know about this movement. I don't even know about that movement, so. You're on the Organic Nation Listening Club, and thank you for Honeybird, and we can continue the conversation, but I don't know about this movement. This is the first I heard of this, and, you know, I'm just an artist, musician, composer out here, so I don't know about that, what's happening. So that's why we have her on.
About that is, it's in the news. I didn't know about it either. I said, me too. And it was a me too about all of these women that are now coming out and all these. But I'm looking at all these big executives. But, you know, David, we listened to a pastor, and he preached about that. Everybody, if you look far back enough and deep enough, have done something that they won't keep covered. They have done something in their life. There's not one person that can stand up and say, they have never done something in their life that they don't want to keep covered. We're all fallible. We're not perfect. And I'm not saying these men that was doing this, raping these women and making these young girls do things that they weren't supposed to do, shouldn't be pulled out and let the light shine on them. I'm just talking about the ones that's playing the game.
Yeah.
Destroying people's lives because they
can't. And it's probably around the world like that, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just not like just in one community or whatever.
Absolutely.
It's probably around the world that women has been exploited and everything like that. And
I'm waiting to come out with
situation,
the men.
Huh?
I'm waiting for the men. I can't wait because, you know, it's women out there that did some men. Come on, man. I'm waiting for it. Why haven't we heard Me Too from male? I'm sure it's been some men sexual harassed. I know some that I worked for that was sexual harassed. So I knew it was sexual harassed. But you know what this manager told one of the guys that was at this particular company I worked for? He says, only sexual harassment when they don't like you. I said, wow.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. That was his statement. He said, if they don't like you, it's sexual harassment. You'll never hear about it again. I said, wow.
That's incredible. Wow, Hummingbird, you know. Wow. So, I mean,
so I'm waiting
to
see a man pop up soon.
The what?
I'm waiting to see a man pop up and say he was sexual harassed. I really am.
I mean, I'm sure that should be the thing, is that it's a balance, that it's not just on the woman's side, which, but I'm sure it's young men that's sexually abused, stuff like that. So you have about a minute or two to make your last statement. We love Hummingbird.
Oh,
on her segment. She on point all the time, especially on a Saturday morning that she shows up. She always shows up with the stuff. With the stuff, but I was about to say with the shit, but I'm still. Oh, she always show up with the stuff. You have any last comments? And then we're going to come back again next week with more of the Organic Nation Listening Club. So what is your last thing that you would say to the nation and to the world?
If it's happened to you, then me too is a good thing. If you know for a fact that this was something that occurred in your life that have destroyed your mental capability of moving forward, is a great thing. But if you're being vindictive and you're mad at somebody because they didn't like you or they didn't return the affection your way and you want to just get back, it's not a good thing. So, world, let your own integrity be checked. You know what I'm saying? Check yourself.
I agree
Make
with you
sure
because
you
through Christ, you know, you have to go through prayer and through Christ and understand that, you know, and you know, revenge and all that, forgiveness is good, but you have to understand from the heart where you're going to be at, you know, at a certain time, and it's tough, but through Christ you can be delivered in a certain way and understand that. And that's most important, and get with people who with Christ, and then you can work through the process. But what I'm hearing is that this Me Too stuff is can be out of hand also at the same time.
It can get out of hand. You can get the wrong people can jump on the bandwagon and destroy a good thing. But I am glad that it wasn't just Bill Cosby. I'm sorry.
I was going to bring that up earlier.
Because they were dogging Bill for a long time.
Like a Bill Cosby. I was going to bring that up earlier. I was saying, it's just like a Bill Cosby thing, too, also, because, it all came out of him, you know. Maybe the people got together was because of Bill Cosby. I mean, but that's another question to ask. You're on the Organic Nation Listening Club. You have one more word before we get to the music?
It's been a delight. I want to thank you guys so much. Enjoy the music, and we'll be back next week.
Because we're making history.
Yes, we are.
We are making history. So here we go. Let's do this thing. Come back next week. Here we go.
Now tell me something, Mr. Government Man. Tell me something. How long you really feel you coulda keep we on the heel when the truth done reveal about how you grab and steal, about how you make your crooked deal, make your crooked deal. Well, down in Southall, where peach the get fall, the Asians them farm up a human wall against the fascists and them police shield, and them show that the Asians got plenty deal, got plenty deal, got plenty deal. It is no mystery, we're making history. It is no mystery, we're winning victory. It is no mystery, we're making history. It is no mystery, we're winning victory. Now tell me something, Mr. Police Spokesman, tell me something. How long you really think we would have take your battle lick, the jackboot kick, the dirty bag of trick, and your racist politics, your racist politics, eh? Well, down in Bristol, they had no pistol, but them chase your Babylon away. And you should have seen your Babylon, how them really run away. You should have seen your Babylon, then pick up that gear, pick up that gear, pick up that gear. It is no mystery, we're making history. It is no mystery, we're winning victory. It is no mystery, we're making history. It is no mystery, we're winning victory. Now tell me something, Mr. Right Wing Man, tell me something. How long you really feel we would have gravel and steel when so much murder concealed, when we wound can't heal, when we feel the way we feel, feel the way we feel, eh?
mystery. It is no mystery. We're making history. It is no mystery. We're winning victory.
Bird and David Arnett Cherry. Let's do this thing.